Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
May I have your attention, please? Now, taking the airwaves on 97.3 The Fan, San Diego's own, Gwen and Chris.
Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
I'm saying... That is Jimmy Garoppolo, Jimmy Jesus, as they call him.
Jimmy Jesus.
They're going to strip that Jesus part away from him, though, after this season.
And Chris Ello.
Kyle Shanahan is going to be the biggest disappointment in this division.
He's an offensive genius. See, I stopped Chris in his tracks.
It's so stupid that I don't even know I'm going to answer it.
Gwen and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Man, oh, man. Chris has some... serious crow to eat right now.
I believe
gobble,
the
gobble.
I believe the 49ers are 7-0.
They're 7-0.
I believe that they just
and I believe you called him an offensive genius. Now yeah. That might fall a little short. Their offense hasn't been very genius like.
They scored 51 points the other day.
Their defense is a huge part of that.
Well, I understand that.
Yeah.
But so Chris, I cannot wait for us to do our midseason awards.
Oh, I can't wait either. I can't wait to watch him moonwalk his way right on out of the studio as he backpedals from no stadium.
Moonwalk, he's going to. He picked the entire 49ers team as maybe the worst team in the NFL before the year.
They were the biggest disappointment. We weren't even doing teams. We were doing players, I think.
Yeah, and he said 49ers. Can't wait.
Gwen and Chris, the Gwen and Chris show is brought to you by Sonic Drive-Ins here in San Diego. Amazing burgers and drinks with 8 locations around town. So Google Sonic San Diego and find the locations nearest you. We're going to reset the show, talk a little bit about Game 6 coming up here in literally 2 minutes, and we'll talk about the NCAA decision. But I want to get to the phone lines because Dexter has been holding damn near an hour. So, Dexter, welcome to Gwen and Chris.
Hi, guys.
Thanks for your patience. Hey. What's on your mind?
Oh, well, this could be like a bonus for the top five.
Okay.
A couple days ago, NBCSports.com had an interview with Tom Brady and said that when his contract lapsed with the Patriots, he's probably not going to extend. He wants to move to L.A., and he wants to play for the Chargers.
Wait, he said this was an interview?
Tom Brady said that?
This was an interview. He would be open to playing for the Chargers.
Oh, man.
Which, if you know the Chargers historically...
Don't mess it up.
It's not as far-fetched as you might think, because a lot of quote-unquote quarterbacks in their twilight or slash broken-down quarterbacks past their prime have played for the Chargers.
Right.
And we can start with Johnny Unitas. He played for the Chargers for 2 seasons, way past his prime. And then, of course, in the late 80s, early 90s, when we were still looking for a quarterback, the post-Fouts years, we had Mark Malone. We had McMahon. We had,
I remember McMahon, yeah.
You know, Babe Laufenberg, who was like supposed to be this wunderkind for Dallas. He came. Stan Humphries. He had a few good years, but you know he concussed his way out. I mean, historically, the Chargers have been a play. Oh, Jim Everett,
oh,
the
that's
famous
right.
Jim Rome, Chrissy Everett.
Yeah, that didn't turn out well.
No.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, the Chargers have been a place where quarterbacks come to end their careers, literally.
Dexter,
so,
that is, you give us something to talk about here. Thanks for the phone call. Thanks for holding so
oh,
long,
yeah.
too, by the way.
No problem.
Let's talk about this a little bit. First and foremost, it was an NBC. We need to find that.
I'm looking at it right now, and I've seen this story in a couple places, and we've talked about whether or not, Thomas and I have at least, talked about whether or not we should bring it to the show. And I don't really see it as being real.
Now, what is it that he said exactly?
Well, Jason LaCanfora said that most of the teams expected to be in the need of a quarterback would garner attention from him, but the Chargers would have a unique appeal to Brady on multiple levels, the sources said. While it's also something the league would covet, given the Chargers' current struggles to sell PSLs and sponsorships at the glistening new stadium, they will share with the Rams beginning next year. So pretty much they're saying Tom Brady is needed to sell tickets for the Chargers, and I just don't see it ever happening.
Thomas, as our resident New England Patriot fan,
yes.
How do you feel about that? Is it a possibility?
I know Brady's come out and said that if he were to play for another team, he'd want to be his hometown team growing up and be the Niners. Now,
hey, that'd be some cold business.
You get the guy
right
traded
there,
and then you take a spot, Jimmy G.
Like, you ain't ever playing, dog.
But to be fair, though, if like you're Brady, I mean, you're going to be 42 going on 43 next year. Why would you want to come to a team that historically has never won? Two, historically has never really given teams the weapons that they need. I mean, look at Rivers. He's running for his life. And does Brady any more agile or nimble in the pocket than Philip Rivers?
No, I think he's less.
Probably a little less.
I'd like to see their three cuddle show, you know,
three cone shuttle.
I would like to see them cuddle too, Thomas.
But I mean, why would you want to leave a good thing that you have where, you know, anywhere you go, you've got one of the best offensive line coaches with the Patriots and Dante Scarnecchia, who's done wonders with guys. So, I mean, I just don't see why you'd want to come to the Chargers where it doesn't set up for him to succeed.
He may view it differently, though. How many times has he seen the Chargers in the playoffs?
Twice?
Has it only been twice? I feel like they've faced each other at least three times.
I think they faced three times. The one where they were on the middle of the field and LT got mad.
Oh, one here in San Diego.
Then you got
two in New England.
Twice in New England. He may view it differently. And listen, when this guy, how many rings does he have? Six?
Yes.
He's got six rings, so he's set there. He's got all the cash he could possibly need.
Yes.
Box checked. I guess the point that you're making in terms of will he have the ability, will his word ring as loud as it does in New England in any other place? And that's always a tricky situation because the team that drafted you and groomed you and brought you through is always going to be the team that warrants or gives you more latitude in decision making.
Yes.
So I don't know. If you're the Chargers, do you want a Tom Brady? Is that like a big enough upgrade for your particular team? I know we're talking about the GOAT, but the GOAT has been in the same offense his entire career by the same head coach his entire career. I would assume it'd be a little bit different moving on to a different head coach.
Not to mention, why would you ever want to leave the Patriots organization? The Patriots organization is the best organization
just the only one above the Steelers,
you know,
line
and sinker. And you're going to come to the organization with the Spanoses, where we all know here what we think about them and what we know about them. I don't think, I mean, Tom Brady, he's too smart for this. Yeah. He's too smart.
Yeah, it just doesn't, I just look at it from like longevity aspect. Why would you want to leave your team that you drafted, like Tony was saying, to come to the Chargers of all things and to work with an owner? You go from Bob Kraft, who has gone above and beyond to take care of him. You know, look what he did with the team, got him a new stadium, to Spanos. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense in that aspect of it.
Yeah, no, I agree. Game six underway.
Ooh, here we go.
Trey Turner, lead off infield single, first ruled out. They take a look, they challenge it, overturn. That's how big this first inning can be, right? They're challenging first inning, no qualms. And this was an easy one to actually challenge. It was a relatively easy call to overturn. But nevertheless, they have no outs, runner on first to start the game. All right, we got to step away and pay some bills when we come back. The NCAA discussion has just heated up. We want to hear from you guys, 833-288-0973. The NCAA has decided that they will definitely open it up to allow student athletes to make a little bit of money. So I want to hear from you guys. Fair, not fair, unintended consequences, maybe? We'll talk about it all. Gwen and Chris, 97.3, The Fan. 518, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, Thomas Andrew, all in the room today as Chris Ello's out on vacation in Tahiti, enjoying himself. Nationals, 1-0. Infield single by Trey Turner. As I said, call was originally out, then overturned. Beautiful sack bunt by Adam Eaton, moved him to second. And then we watched a professional do his thing in Anthony Rendon, foul off about 5-6 pitches, and on a 3-2 count, 3-2 slider away, just slaps it. And fortunately for him, they were in a shift. Nobody was playing in the second base area. Single run scores, 1-0 Nationals, 2 outs in the first now.
You said while we were watching that, that was a Tony Gwynn-esque hit right there.
That's what everybody would say now, because I think everybody thinks my dad just slapped the ball around.
I think he's a slap hitter?
He was a slap hitter, you know. But that's just smart hitting right there. And at the on the biggest stage possible, when runs mean the most, he didn't try to do too much. He just took his slider away, saw nobody was over there, didn't have to hit it hard at all, and the ball literally 27 hopped through the infield for his RBI single.
That would be tough. That would be so tough to go for the big hit.
It's funny. At Fitness Quest, there's some young pitchers there that I talk to often. And I was having a discussion with them about one of my favorite things to do, especially when shifting first started, like probably back in, I'd say like 06, our AAA manager, Frank Krimblis, used to shift all the time. And the faces that the pitchers used to give when a ball would get through, when an infielder should have been there, was priceless.
Like, man, they're so mad.
And the respectful ones, it was even funnier because they wanted to look into the dugout and cut somebody out. But they had respect for their manager, so they just was just tight-faced, mean-mugging all through the inning. Now, there I had some teammates that would straight up yell into the dugout, "What are we doing? Why is he over there?" And, you know, that obviously causes some issues.
Yeah.
But I know even now. I mean, now pitchers are used to it. They kind of expect it. They know there's going to be balls that get through that if guys are normally where they should be,
they have as
would
much
be out. But on the flip side of that is they play where most guys hit the ball. Sometimes it just doesn't work out that way.
Yeah, on the flip side, they have as much research and as much statistics on the pitching side than they do the hitting side.
And I think that's why it's been easier to swallow for pitchers. All right, the NCAA, as I mentioned, came back with their decision. They've been in talks since May, apparently. And they've come to the conclusion that they want to allow student-athletes to be able to make money in terms of are compared to a regular student that gets to go out, have a job,
make money off their social media,
whatever it is. They can do all of it there. And they're going to – listen, there are plenty of areas in which this needs to be flushed out more. And,
yes.
You know, one of them what was the caller's name?
PJ.
PJ called in, had a great take on – in terms of colleges – a lot of the bigger colleges, even some of the smaller colleges, have apparel contracts where you are supposed to wear a certain apparel, whether it's Adidas, Nike, Puma, whatever it may be, that you're supposed to wear that type of gear. Now, a situation could come up where an athlete has sold his likeness to a specific brand, and that might conflict with the school he wants to go to.
Yeah, that's a huge concern because if you're now you're limiting athletes to only looking at these schools because they're a Nike school, or you know, I was saying earlier that if you're an ACC school or if you're Nike and you want this say 10th ranked player in the country for football to play for a bigger conference, you can't go to Conference USA, you can't go to be part of MACtion, you have to go to the big conferences because you want that player to represent your brand on the biggest stage possible.
Now there's some smaller schools that aren't in the big conferences that have apparel deals. It may be a Russell, it could be a whole bunch of different lines, but nevertheless, these are the type of issues that pop up and are going to have to be flushed out. Again, we want to hear from you guys. 833-288-0973. I'm for it. You know, I do think that they really do need to flush this out. You want to make sure that nobody's – and listen, the reality is even once they get these rules in place, there's always somebody trying to one-up the rules or go around the rules. That's just kind of human nature.
What do you think about them being able to get agents earlier? Do you think that is more – which do you think is a more slippery slope?
It's a good question because, listen, I think they're called – I mean, in baseball, right, guys have – agents are just they just allow them to be called advisors, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know how right? much I don't know and there's an understanding that, you know, there's certain things that you just can't do until you become a professional, but I don't think that's a big issue. I really okay. don't you can, and I like the idea of all agents needing to be certified at least through yes. the leagues, not yes. necessarily through the NCAA, because the one they came up with where you had to have graduated from college, and that was just ridiculous.
So weird.
Yeah, it was more evidence that the NCAA is out of touch with what society's at right now.
I believe the NCAA did this out of begrudgingly, because of obviously course. They didn't want to, but they realized that this was going downhill very fast.
The Congress was just some certain congressmen and women. We're putting pressure by putting bills on them. And,
yeah,
you know,
Congressman Mark Walker, another Democratic Senator, Nancy Skinner.
Yeah, a Republican, yeah. one's a Democrat.
And we know about Anthony Gonzalez, who was a former Ohio State player, played for the Colts.
Right.
He's an Ohio congressman as well, and he was going to do a federal law. So this is the only decision the NCAA really had.
Right, because if they didn't, it'd be like an open market, which they definitely don't want. This at least gives them a chance to be able to control it somewhat in terms of it not just being a free-for-all, because yeah. that could get a little dicey.
It could
for the NCAA. There's no way they would be able to control it. So this was forced forced by the Congress. Certain congressmen and women who were putting out bills, really forcing the NCAA's hand.
Now, do you think this makes the rich richer? And I'm saying that as in, do you think Alabama now has a leg up on other on athletes because they're able to pay them more? Or not that Alabama's paying them, but they're able to get them more endorsements over something like San Diego State, where they're not on as big of a stage as Alabama
possibly.
Is.
Possibly, but again, social media can help with that in terms of the smaller schools being able to reach things. Now, just a quick update in this game. Houston, Springer led off the inning with a double and has scored after a wild pitch and a sack fly by Jose Altuve. It's a 1-1 game.
This is going to be a crazy one.
This is going to be a good one. I mean, both teams, I think, recognize, especially when in terms of Strasburg and Verlander, you want to get these guys early. Because we saw from Verlander giving up the four against the Nationals in his first start. He settled in and didn't give up anything for the rest of the game. Went 7 innings, gave up the 4 runs. Strasburg now has to try to – each pitcher is going to do their – is going to have to try to get zeros up on the board.
And you were saying earlier that he's done a really good job, Steven Strasburg, of pitching out of trouble.
Yeah, I mean, this is a good example. Lead-off double, Springer, then the wild pitch. Now he gets a fly ball, and he has to keep the damage where it is. You don't want to give the Astros the momentum when they pretty much in every game after really game one, I think they scored first two. So they've scored first, and I'm almost positive out of 4 out of the 5 games that have been played. And you don't want them to get a lead, because it just seems like things roll downhill once they get going.
Oh, yeah, especially when they're at home.
And it'll be tough. All right, let's step away, take a break. When we come back, we got our countdown. And considering it's Halloween on Thursday, what better place to have a countdown and what better place to do it than here at Intercom? Let's do candy. Top 5
Ooh.
Halloween candy.
You guys are going to hate mine.
This is going to be a yearly one because I enjoy candy, and it's Halloween once a year. So stay tuned. Gwen and Chris, 97.3, The Fan. 5:33. The Astros have taken a 2-1 victory. Or 2-1 victory. 2-1 lead. Alex Bregman goes up top. You recall last Strasburg start. He also got him in that first inning, made it 2-0. The Nationals would go on to win that game, however. A little interesting little tidbit. He hit the ball, knew it was a homer, and ran all the way to first base with his bat in his hand. I don't know if he forgot to drop it, which I highly doubt. But he handed it to the first base coach. Even Altuve and Correa were a little befuddled. Like, what is he doing?
Act like you've been there before.
Yeah, Alex is a confident cat. Confident
yes,
cat for sure.
Is.
And rightfully so. All right, got some callers on the line. Wanted to talk the NCAA rule, new rule today. Tim in San Diego, thanks for calling in, Tim. What's on your mind?
Thank you for taking me. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Well, I think that obviously a lot of callers are always worried about the big bad things will happen. But the bad things happen, as you well know, Tony, irrelevant right. of what you're going to change the rule or not. The money is going to find a way into the rich big schools situations. That always does. I think what people are missing is having played college baseball on a partial scholarship, because as you well know, in college
right.
baseball, you get 13 is what you get. And you're trying to field out a team. I mean, I'm an old guy. I might have moved up to 15 by now. But I would say, 90% of the sports don't offer full ride to the whole, and that includes women. So
yeah.
This actually gives the opportunity for a baseball team to full ride everybody, because you got the local, like where I went to college, it was a small town. We canceled, well, it wasn't small, it was a good-sized town. We canceled football and concentrated on basketball, baseball, women's sports. And you had a lot of community sports, so you'd be able to get jobs, real jobs, for baseball players, lacrosse players, volleyball players, people who can't be there on full scholarship. But guess what? Partial scholarship, you ain't working either. Doesn't matter. You're trying to do work study. You're trying to do, you're trying to do anything you can to pay the bills.
That's
this
right.
will help. This will help 90% of the kids, because I mean, how many great stars do you have, really?
One,
I
two.
Mean, listen, We had a number one draft pick in the 83 draft. That's how old I am. Number one pick to the Dodgers. And that kid was not on a full scholarship. Number one pick pitcher.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to look at the overall picture, and that's what they'll say. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Great, great phone call, Tim. Thanks for your input. Listen, I think Tim is spot on, because other than football, where everybody is a full ride guy, most of the sports are partial scholarship, and it's still the same. It's still the same in baseball. 13 scholarships for anywhere between 30, 35, maybe a little bit more, that you're trying to spread out amongst your team. And he's right. It could help a lot of especially the smaller sports, right?
Yeah.
Being able to work with whoever in the businesses in the community that can possibly provide jobs for some of these athletes, that I think that's a positive thing.
I do too. I definitely think that. I went to college, just hit me, but I went to college at the University of San Francisco, and I roomed with one of the guys on the basketball
team.
Don? I was a Don. Good job. I roomed with one of the guys in the basketball team. Now, he was not on scholarship, and he was really lucky. He considered himself lucky to be playing basketball in San Francisco. But some of his friends that he would have over, one of them I know for a fact was on full ride, and he just acted like an idiot. And it made me angry, because here I am. I'm a good student. I'm doing my thing. I'm going to school every day.
What does acted like an idiot mean?
Just not respecting the fact that you are getting free education.
How
and
so?
Free room and board, not going to class, partying all the time. We had big problems.
Wait, you mean a college student was partying all the time?
I know.
What?
We had big problems.
What is going on at the University of San Francisco?
We had big problems with him specifically partying in my apartment, so maybe that's why I brought that up.
You sound a little salty.
A little bit, but it did make me angry, because a lot of us were going there and we had to get in to the school by having a certain grade point average and a certain SAT score and all that stuff. And he was admitted to it because he could play basketball really well. And that bothered me. It really did. And it might have been jealousy. Could have been jealousy.
Sounds
it probably
like
was
it.
Jealousy.
Sounds like it.
But at the same time, my roommate...
Sounds like the definition of a hater.
My roommate... I know you're trying to talk me off of this. My roommate, though, was respectful. He told me specifically, I'm very lucky...
The walk-on was respectful. Is that what you're saying? The guys who get scholarships aren't respectful? Is that what you're saying, Scraby?
What just happened?
I'm just asking.
I know. You're right. You're right.
You're kind of putting all scholarship athletes in this one box of being disrespectful.
All scholarship athletes are not like this one guy that I knew in college. I know that sounds like a really stupid thing to say, but at the same time,
I see what you're saying, though. I mean, that's more of a
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced. Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A product of probably how he was treated before, how people treated him even before he got to school. You know what I'm saying? To where he's entitled to, or feels entitled.
It's a very expensive
to act
school.
The way he did. Yeah, no, University of San Francisco is no joke in terms of cost. So, I mean, I think there are, those are the rare compared to most athletes who get scholarships. Most athletes are working so hard just to get one of those scholarships, whether they become a full or partial. I know I was a partial guy. I was 35%.
But you were raised to respect that.
Absolutely. I mean, it was an honor to get a scholarship regardless. And fortunately for me, my parents, you know, could kick some money to me when I needed it. That was not the case for the majority of my teammates and the majority of the athletes that were in school.
Now, the best thing out of all this, and I don't think we've brought this up yet, you know where I'm going with this, is that with this pay-for-play thing, we are also
going to... Let's get into the selfish reasons why.
Yes, let's do this.
This is awesome. EA Sports would be back in play.
Game.
They've already said that if the NCAA is able to get this situation fixed and handled, they would instantly be willing to jump back in.
I loved that football game.
Oh my gosh, who didn't? Who didn't?
It was like I would always create a team and try. You know,
San Diego State is the best team ever on there. It has the most potential in every NCAA game.
I think I rebuilt my varsity football team a few times as a different college.
What a
too.
Dork. I think I rebuilt my football team. I just have to make fun of you because Tony just made fun of
that's
me.
That's just a gamer, right? I used to do the same thing.
Okay, I did too.
If they bring that game back, oh my gosh.
How many countless hours spent running the triple option attack with your friends?
I used to always try to build up like a D3 school, like Montana or something like that, just because I like their logo.
Yeah, these are all selfish reasons, by the way.
They are.
We want this to happen.
Yes.
Jerry in San Diego, welcome to Gwen and Chris. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
No problem.
I have a friend of mine who is an athletic director at a Division I school, and we'll keep that off the record, but he told me that some of the unintended consequences were more he saw on the female side of sports.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And what he said was, just like in today's world, you know, the prettier girl gets a little bit on the Instagram, she's getting the more money, and he was saying that where, like, say if you're on a softball team or the basketball team, if you're on the better-looking side, let's say, you're going to be getting money while maybe the star player who's not as attractive is not getting any money or endorsement.
Wow. Again, these are the unintended consequences. And now you're feeding into a narrative that, from a societal standpoint, we're trying to change, that it's not all about your beauty and things of that nature. With the one of the unintended consequences of this could be now that you're feeding into it. Jerry, thanks for the phone call. That was some good input there.
Very good.
We talked about these unintended consequences, and on the female side, there could be. You can foresee some issues popping up where we're kind of feeding into things that we're trying to get away from right now.
Now I know this is me going down a wormhole, and
which is not a surprise.
Not a surprise, but
can you
measure things by stats? Say you're the leading scorer on the team, you are eligible for these endorsements.
But again, it boils down to
not the, because
the
of
company.
Your looks.
The company is the one that's going to be.
Well, then maybe that's a rule by the NCAA. You have to go by our rules. We tell you who you can or who can endorse your product.
How many big businesses are willing to take orders from another entity?
Not many. But if this is the case, then they can the NCAA has, this is why they're doing this, so that they can set the rules.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. Again, this has to be flushed out, because what we don't want are these, you actually want to be able to see what the unforeseen consequences you can possibly see coming. Yeah. Because you want to be prepared to pivot one way or another when those things come in, or to have a solution for those.
Thankfully, we have until 2023 to figure this out.
Yeah, no, that's going to be important. And I think that was by design, because I think most adults in the room can tell you that there will be some consequences that we're not thinking of immediately.
Yes. Are you kind of proud that our state started this?
I'm just glad somebody started the conversation.
It's too powerful. When you're trying to take on the states, and NCAA is like, well, we're never going to win.
Yeah.
Never going to win.
Well, listen, when they start tying things up to tax exemptions for
already past my pay grade. Yeah,
I mean, that's dealing in the big time. We got another caller?
I believe we have our guest on the line.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay.
Well, Dan Wolkin,
USA Today, joins us here on Gwen and Chris. Perfect person to have on to talk about this NCAA situation going on with payments to players, to student athletes. Dan, how you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
We're well. Thanks for coming on today. Let's get right into it, Dan. Is this decision by the NCAA a direct response to the organization, realizing that they wouldn't be in control based on some of the bills passed in certain states at all? And it'd be a free-for-all if they don't get involved in this.
Well, I think it's a little more nuanced than that. I mean, look, the NCAA is going to potentially, you know, go through the litigation channels with all these various bills. They could kind of stall this for a while. But I think there is a more general understanding that times have changed, that the model is outdated, that they need to continue to evolve. And public sentiment reflects that, and certainly the legislative momentum in the various states and even at the federal level is reflective of that as well. So I think it's all kind of in the same pool, and there's just a recognition of reality is what it is.
Dan, let me ask you, in terms of some of the things that the NCAA sees as a problem off the top, what are some of their concerns immediately dealing with paying student athletes?
Well, what they're trying to do is thread a needle and understand that they have to liberalize the rules on name, image, and likeness for student athletes. And they're willing to do that. But what they don't want to have happen is for this to turn into a recruiting situation where a booster of a big school is paying, you know, $100,000 or whatever to a five-star quarterback recruit to go to the school they want him to go to. Mm. They don't want this to be a recruiting thing. They want it to be, hey, listen, if you are a student athlete, high-profile player in college, you have an opportunity to make some money off your name, image, and likeness, have at it. What we don't want is for this to seep into the recruiting environment where it's just bidding on recruits.
Dan Wolkin,
that's going to be difficult to do. It's going to be very difficult.
Dan Wolkin here. He writes for USA Today on Quinn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. One of our callers earlier called in with a pretty good point. What if one of these high school athletes, say, signs with Nike, and they're being recruited by an Adidas school? How is this all going to work out?
Well, like I said, I mean, they're trying to not tie this into recruiting.
Right.
And I don't know whether it'll be successful or not. But the, you know, even if you look at the way the California bill is written, I think there's an acknowledgement that individual marketing or licensing deals, you know, when they conflict with the school would have the priority. This is the same thing that happens in the Olympics all the time. And it also happens in other sports leagues, but that's collectively bargained, so it's
right.
A little bit different. But in the Olympics, you know, for instance, somebody, you know, could be sponsored by Adidas or whatever, but they've got to wear a Nike logo if they're Team USA. It's just kind of the way it is.
Dan, you mentioned the fact that the NCAA can kind of slow play this and kind of get it caught up in the courts a little bit. Is there any appetite to get this done sooner rather than later? I know some of the bills, at least the one in California, won't go into effect till 2023. So that gives them some time. Is there any appetite to get moving on this faster than they have been in the past?
Well, the NCAA is a very bureaucratic organization with a lot of different agendas. It's self-governance. It's a representative organization. And they want and will often factor in a variety of different opinions. And, you know, there it's just not easy to implement any major new policy, and I think especially one of this magnitude. It's going to take a lot of work and a lot of voices and a lot of different ways to attack the issue before they come to their final solution. So they'll go as fast as they can, but in the NCAA system, it's still going to be a while.
It sounds very NCAA. So, Dan, we certainly appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on. As this thing kind of gets flushed out, hopefully we can get you back on.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks.
Thanks. That was Dan Walken, USA Today, joining us, giving us input on what this whole NCAA thing is all about.
It's a mess. It's going to be a mess.
It just seems like it's as he said, it's nuanced. It's more nuanced than that. It's not as simple as. And listen, he's right. You can't, no matter how this thing goes, it can't seep into the recruiting. Like, we don't want kids being forced to go to some place based on the money that they're making. That shouldn't start at that point.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
if you're there and you're able to get an endorsement deal when you're there, great. I think by all accounts, everybody's on board with that. It's just if it starts seeping into recruiting, it could be kind of a dirty business at that point. A
really dirty business.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines.
Oh.
Jay in Chula Vista, welcome to Gwen and Chris. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind, Jay?
Yeah, I was just listening to the other caller call in who was talking about the female problem, but you can have that problem no matter what happened because you got a photogenic quarterback or you got a sculpture running back and he's a swimwear marketing or something going to be a lot easier to get than a fat, sloppy lineman. No matter what happens, so there's no way around it.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, regardless of these rules being in place or not, that's always going to be a factor.
It is, but I think that the women will have to deal with it way more than the men.
Certainly, certainly. I think women, generally speaking, are looked at that way. You know, and that we are trying to get away from that type of thinking. Jay, thanks for the phone call. But I tend to agree. That's going to be an issue, I think, regardless, right?
It will be. It will be. And I'm excited to see how this all works out because I like that we're trying something new instead of just keeping the rules the rules. We're changing it up a little bit.
That's what Jesse was trying to tell me with this whole
the pitching.
This whole strike zone thing. Like, we should try something new.
I didn't know. I'm not speaking for him, but yesterday he said it on the show. I didn't know he was so for it.
Oh, my gosh. We've been having this discussion for like 2 years now.
Yeah, you guys.
He's moved me on quite a few things that I wasn't necessarily on board with, because if I can't find a good reason why not to do it, then I probably won't, you know, keep my position on it. But and this one, man, is just, maybe I'm just short sighted on this, but excuse me, I can't even think to have this conversation until I stop seeing the computer calls strikes that on balls that hit the dirt. Like, that is just mind-blowing to me.
And then they eject and he's like,
it's like an easy fix. Okay, well, if it's that easy of a fix, why are we still talking about it? Like, it should have been that, well, they got to collect the data. They didn't know that was going to be the case as soon as they did it? Come on. You're throwing pitches to, I assume, before you actually put it into play. You're seeing it's like, oh, man, it's a breaking ball. It just hit the dirt. They called it a strike. We're going with it still. We're going to put it in place.
Hey!
Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. So, Houston still up 2-1, third inning, top of three, two outs, Nationals up. Top of the order, Adam Eaton's hitting right now, 1-1 count.
Big injury in the NBA that just happened a little bit ago.
Oh, yes, Adam Klug is not feeling that good. He's come in here for two straight. In case you didn't know, Adam Klug was our program director here. From Atlanta.
Yes.
And has been feeling very good about Trae Young starting. And you know what's funny? I think it was yesterday. He came in here and was kind of boasting about Trae Young. And I said, that's great. Let's see if he can hold up. And what's the injury we're hearing now, Scott?
It's an ankle injury.
Ooh, ankles.
He went down on it. I just saw it. It looks pretty bad. I mean, obviously, you don't know whether or not he tore ligaments or anything, but he is in serious pain on the court.
He got to be carried off, right?
He had to be, carried off. Well, kind of helped off. He wasn't carried off, but he did not put much weight on it. And Trae Young, he has just been on fire to begin the year.
I shouldn't even call him little guy because he's not that little. He just seems little on the court. But you know who else had a lot of ankle problems early on?
Steph Curry. He did.
About 3 years of them.
He did.
And then he got through them, and he was healthy because he was strong enough to get through it. But 3 years is a long time to be dealing with ankle injuries.
It is a long time. Frank Gore for the 49ers, he dealt with ankle injuries for a long time. You know, ankles are one of those things where, well, at least in my experience, I hurt my ankle pretty bad back in the day, and it still hurts. I don't understand how these guys are able to get through it.
Well, certainly the way Trae Young plays, twisting an ankle as bad as his injury, that ankle looked, I don't see him being able to bounce back from that all that soon.
No.
That's going to be some time out as they try to fix that.
Another NBA news. The Warriors are struggling, and they are feeling it because someone
they got a win yesterday, though.
They did. Someone asked, and D'Angelo Williams played really well alongside Steph Curry. I think he almost had a triple-double. I think he was 2 rebounds or something short of a triple-double.
They beat the New Orleans Pelicans, who are 0-4 now.
Ooh. I mean, the Pelicans were with Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram.
I've watched Zion. They've been fun to watch, even without Zion. But they are 0-4, and you know, until you get Zion back, but the fact that you're waiting on a rookie to come in and talk, and he could. I think he has that kind of ability where he can come in and turn a team around. But they're 0-4, but I'm sorry, I digress.
Back to Golden State. Someone asked Steve Kerr if Steph Curry needs to shoot more threes.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Like, he does not need to shoot more threes. He shoots enough.
I think what he said was, you know, because they were alluding to James Harden and the Rockets and how they play. And I think what Steve Kerr said was, you know, they built their team with 4 shooters so that James can play the way he does. But the more important point he made was that takes a lot on your body. James Harden is like 205, 210, maybe a little more than that.
James Harden has 30 extra pounds and 2 more inches than Steph
Curry. Is 180?
He's 180 pounds?
I think so. He might not be even that much.
How do you play the NBA at 180 pounds?
I mean, these guys are long and skinny. They're not thick dudes. Where they got enlisted at?
They make it so hard these days. 190.
190. So 30 pounds. So that means James is going in 220? With 220, 2 extra inches.
That's shocking.
It's a little bit different on your body than going in there in that paint at 190 playing that hard. All right. We got to step away, pay some bills. When we come back, the countdown will finally be here. Top 5. Halloween Candace. Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.